You are now listening to the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. For more information, visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts.
Hey everybody, it's Dallas here at the Kept Faith. We just wanted to let you know that we recorded this episode on Sunday evening, and that was before the news about Kevin Towers came out. So we don't discuss anything about Kevin Towers in the episode you're about to hear. Obviously, it's not intentional, and our thoughts and prayers go out to Kevin's family. I know that's a very cliche thing to say, but it's very true. He basically shaped our youth here in San Diego. I mean, honestly, as a sports fan, and there is so much to talk about and so much to say about a person like Kevin Towers. And so next time we get together, we definitely will talk about him more and what he meant to San Diego and what he meant to the Padres. But until then, our sympathies go to him and his family, and what a huge loss. You'll also hear that at the end of this episode, we mention our brand new website. It is still brand new. It's up right now. There's actually a fantastic new piece by Ghost of Ray Kroc that is up right now, and you can go read it. There's still some tweaks and things that we're changing as we get them up and we look at them and see what they do. We want to change some things and make it a little easier. So be patient and enjoy Ghost's piece and enjoy the episode that you're about to hear.
Thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Hoffman.
Yeah. He's in.
He's in.
I just wasn't expecting you to change it up.
It's time.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It's Hoffman week. We're still there.
It's still Hoffman week.
We're going to write this out as long as we possibly can. We should.
We're recording on a Sunday out in El Cajon, and I'm also joined by Dallas McLaughlin.
Yeah, the box, El Cajon.
Yeah.
We are in our secret studio in the valley, the middle of nowhere.
Trevor's still in. That's
he's still in. You can't take that away.
No.
I wonder if anybody was worried about that. They could revoke it somehow.
So they'll figure out a way.
Yeah.
I'm still worried about it until he actually gives his speech. Yeah, in Cooperstown,
somehow,
like, until that happens,
like Steinbrenner will take it away from him somehow.
So, are you guys gonna get the hotel package in Cooperstown, fly out,
you know,
drive out?
Somebody was just bringing it up to me that they're gonna go.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
I was like, oh, you know what? It would be kind of fun to, like, I wanted to go for Tony's thing and I didn't, and I've never been. It's on a bucket list to go to Cooperstown.
Yeah.
So, like, I wonder if I see. Can you hear the little girls? There's little girls in this room. That's right.
I'd love to go. I don't have disposable income like that, mainly because of the little girls that you just heard.
That's
but
true.
Yeah.
Well,
I would love to go if it was something
that
was affordable. Yeah.
Well, maybe we can get like a media credentials. Maybe we could do that.
Yes.
We'll get it paid for.
We should get an RV and drive.
We should get an RV and drive.
But I bet the best time to go is probably not the weekend that everybody goes.
I don't know. I mean, like, because I'm sure they have, like, festivities planned and
oh,
stuff.
I heard the whole town just gets, it's just a completely different thing.
Well, then that's when you got to go. Who wants to go? You ever hear about Cooperstown when it's not the Hall of Fame induction weekend?
I don't like lines.
There's a good Bob Evans in Cooperstown that you got to hit up.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever been to Cooperstown?
No.
No. Yeah. I could have gone once, but it was too inconvenient, so we just didn't go.
Yeah,
I really want to go to Cooperstown and to have a Field of Dreams in Dyersville.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Although, did you hear it just got vandalized? Like, the field just got vandalized by, like, locals? Like, they just messed it up or something?
Yeah,
right, because they're so, like, sick of everyone coming into their town?
No, people were saying that the town loves it. Like, it's a huge thing for the town. They make a ton of money for the
town
and everything.
Right, I was going to say, it's got to be
some
tourist money.
It's got to be some stupid teenagers that were like, yeah, we're going to... And they, like, did donuts in the field and caused, like, these huge gashes in the dirt. And it's going to cost, like, thousands of dollars to fix
it. Did you get drunk one night or something? That's what
Probably.
Well, I heard for a long time the field was on two different plots of land. And both property owners had competing tourist, like, businesses going on.
Really?
I guess that got resolved, but.
Only one, like, on one property you could go to the infield. The other property you could go to the outfield.
There's always drama around Kevin Costner. That seems like
that is true. That is true. What if it was Kevin Costner and he just got drunk and donuts in the field and messed it up?
I would like that.
Ease his pain, everybody. Well, yes. Ease his pain.
So you can check. We posted enough Trevor content, I think, this week.
We did. I mean, like 7 or 8. Right?
Yeah, we increased our post frequency like by 1,000,000% at least.
Let's count it off. You posted. Dallas posted one.
I did.
I posted one with our friend Q. Padres Haiku posted one. John Ozale posted one.
He will tonight.
And Matt Blagg, Ghost of Ray Kroc,
Brady
Phelps,
Sackbunt Dustin.
Yeah, and Andy Keats.
Man.
A lot of high quality content, too. Yeah, it wasn't just like.
Yeah, it was okay.
I like Trevor. You know, it was lots of good takes.
Yeah, no, it was really interesting to. I mean, I figured it was going to be a lot of people talking about what he meant to them, and we talked about this in the podcast with Dave and Jeff. Was like, that's kind of the big thing about Trevor, that is he means so much to the town. You know what I mean? It's like, in this city we have very few sports stars to celebrate. And so it means a lot when we get one. And they kind of just changed the culture of the town, and that Trevor has that ability.
Well, yeah, I think, like, especially a town that used public money to build a stadium, like, all the writers of the Baseball Writers of America, like, yeah, he deserves to be in. I don't care. We paid for the stadium. Give us this. That's what I felt like the whole time. I mean, I really didn't want to get into arguments about war. Like, I didn't want to have that war.
No, but it was fun to argue with Keith Law. Like, it was so fun. I haven't been blocked by him, which is amazing, because I did argue with him a few times, and he didn't block me. But it's so easy to get blocked, apparently.
Yeah, he loves to get down in the weeds, doesn't he?
I think it's funny, though, that he was on 1090. Like, then he came on with 1090 with Ben Higgins to talk about the prospects list. And I'm like, that's such a weird, like, for 1090 to do that is like, it's almost like trolling.
Yeah.
Padres fans, like, yeah, we know you all hate this guy, so we're gonna have him on to talk about Padres players.
I think,
like,
well, the thing is with Keith Law is I think most people agree that he does really good work. He kind of did some groundbreaking work for a long time.
Sure.
The way he covers the prospects. Why don't you just let us worry about the back end, okay?
No,
just kidding.
Well, I wrote a thing about the Hall of Fame on the Kept Faith like a while ago, and it was after I got into an argument with Keith Law. And I'm proud to say that, you know, Robert Pooter, who a frequent guest on the Kept Faith, called it a horrific take. So I hold that close to my heart. But
I don't think that was against. I don't think that was the Keith Law part. I think it was just the
my take on the Hall of Fame. Well, but it's an interesting thing to think about because, you know, when you talk about the Hall of Fame, when you talk about the players who will be remembered forever and ever and ever and ever, you know what I mean? The fact that the baseball writers have the power to put that, because I mean, I'm sure when it started, you know, and I'm this would be a quick Google if I wanted to Google it, but I'm sure when it started, it was like their way of saying, hey, we love these players. These are the players that should be remembered, but it's turned into something else. You know, it's not like it might even be called the Writers Hall of Fame, but it's like, it is now the Baseball Hall of Fame. These are the players that will be remembered forever and ever and ever. And it's no longer just about the writers. It's about the players and the legacies. Yeah. So to me, it seems interesting and kind of weird that the writers get to decide what baseball players get remembered forever. You know what I mean? Because there's no way that Keith Law could understand the impact that Trevor Hoffman had on the city of San Diego and the San Diego Padre franchise. He can't understand that. Just like I can't understand the impact that Alan Trammell had on the Detroit Tigers franchise and the city. It's just weird to me. I mean,
it's kind of like the Golden Globes, right? Because the Golden Globes is just put there by the writers.
Yeah.
Whereas the Academy Awards is a plethora
of industry people.
There's directors, there's producers, there's actors all making that call. Whereas in baseball with the Hall of Fame, it's just the writers. What? Like,
I think you
should maybe be like, if you're an old player, you maybe get your Hall of Fame voting credentials something.
Well, no, you do. So that's the other thing. But the Hall of Fame is so weird now. I mean, it's been this way for a while. There is the Veterans Committee. So there is the ex baseball players and executives who do get to, like Alan Trammell and, Jack Morris, they got in because the Veterans Committee voted them in. Because they didn't get voted in among the writers, they didn't make the cut, and the Veterans Committee has the power to right those wrongs, and within a certain amount of time, they can elect players who the writers overlooked or didn't deem worthy.
So Hoffman always had a hope.
So Hoffman was probably going to always make it in one way or another.
Hoffman's big problem, though, I think, and I would give an excuse to the people that were against it. Forget about the, if you can get over like the stats surrounding closing, I think that he didn't have a whole lot of great postseason moments that, mm-hmm. that everybody looks to. Like for me with Jack Morris, he had so many important starts in the postseason that he became it. When you go away from the localized mm-hmm. view and you come to the national stage, that's why I'm like, oh, well, Jack Morris should be in.
But
that's how I feel.
But
I
that's mean, the problem,
Trevor
though.
Didn't really have that. That's all
that's saying. The problem, though, is that like for when it comes to Trevor. Or remember when A-Rod was the MVP on a losing Texas Rangers team? Like, I think they didn't even, I think maybe they were under 500 that year, and he was still the MVP. And people were like, how can you be the MVP yeah. of a team that
team
didn't,
is not,
that was bad? Yeah. The issue was, though, is how much worse would they have been without A-Rod that year? Like, he was clearly the best player in the league that year. Steroids helped, but he was the best player yeah. in the league. And that is my argument with Trevor is, like, you can talk about the postseason stats, and I get that. Mariano was there way more than he was. You know, Mariano was able to do it on a high stage with high pressure, intense situations. The problem that Trevor suffered from is not only did he not do well in those high pressure situations, but he didn't get a lot of those situations. Yeah. He didn't have the chance.
Right, he didn't have the opportunities.
So it's like he suffered on a team that, I mean, let's be honest, the years that he was a Padre, they had maybe three good years. In the 15 years that he was the Padres closer, they had maybe three good seasons.
Yeah.
So the fact that he was able to accumulate the stats that he was able to accumulate, being on a team that was pretty bad most of the time, because there's all those people who fight, oh, well, Mariano, you know, he had more saves and he had more wins and all this other stuff. But it's like, yeah, sure. Then you have to look at the quality of the team that he was playing for. How many times did he come in with three-run leads that qualifies a save? And how many times did Trevor come in with one-run leads? You know, how many times did he protect the lead? It's just like there's so many things that factor into it.
Well,
that
the
I don't
Yankees
just think it's as simple
had a
as
lot
that.
More leads.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's I like, mean, you know, they won more games. And so
it's amazing how this always has to get into Mariano. Like, I just think Mariano's better. I've always
thought
that. And
sure,
like,
sure.
I don't know why you can't have two from that era. Like we were talking, I was talking about it with Q on our email exchange. Like these are the two guys. And if Billy Wagner gets in, I'm not going to make a big fuss about it. I think
yeah.
he's below them, but I think every generation probably has two closers that should get in. This is the steroid generation. This is their representation. Like I think now, if Kenley Jansen keeps this up, he's going to be in the postseason a lot. Like, he's
sure.
pretty dominant. Like, he's a guy that could emerge if Kimbrel in the Red Sox has a run or whatever. I think he's already stacked together a pretty fair case.
Yeah, I think
Aroldis Chapman could
Chapman,
enter that
I was about to say what he's been
guys,
doing
don't
recently.
Bring him
but,
up.
I mean,
that's
there's
awkward.
Two or three guys. I think those are, like, the only guys that are going to have, like, have maintained the role for
yeah.
a long enough time. It is rare. And they are part. You watch the postseason. Everybody forgets about it in the regular season. When the postseason starts, it just becomes about bullpens so much.
So
and
it's,
like,
it's always about the ninth inning. It seems like
and
it's
I think,
always
I,
coming down. To
yeah,
that.
I think now if Trevor was used today, he would. I think he would be used at different spots in the game. Maybe earlier than the ninth. I think teams have
yeah.
gotten smarter. His changeup was still devastating. Almost as devastating as Mariano's cutter, and those are Andy wrote it in his piece. Like his changeup should be recognized in the Hall of Fame
for what it was.
It's
yeah.
done. We don't have to worry about it. I'm glad. I don't think there's ever gonna be. I don't think there's ever gonna be another Padre that I'm gonna be really. I'm really gonna care this much about getting in. My
yeah.
two guys are in. I'll never love another Padre like I love those two guys, I think. I think I speak for all of us. Right?
I mean,
like,
yeah, I can't
we can
see
only
it now.
Hope.
We can hope we get that
I mean,
again, sure.
I don't want to close that door, Nick.
Well,
my heart is open to new love.
I mean, I'm ready.
I just want to say this about it. Like, I like Zach Bunt, Dustin's piece on that he wrote on the Cafe Faith was saying that, you know, sure, Mariano's clearly the best closer, right? But Hoffman is also clearly the second best closer. Like past those two guys, like you were just saying, Nick, past those two guys, it's a pretty big drop off. Like Wagner is the third, and if Wagner gets in, I wouldn't fight it. That's fine with me. And then like since that since those years, the closer position has kind of died off, and people have gone in and out of that position and haven't held it except for Kimbrel or possibly Kenley Jansen. So it's like I feel like you get penalized so much in the sport of baseball for playing in positions that the sport of baseball created. Right. It's like the writers, and that's why I think it's weird for the writers to get these positions, because they clearly don't like the position of DH. They clearly hate that position. And so they're not going to let a DH get in the Hall of Fame. And that sucks. They have the power to do that, and that sucks.
Right, because that is a baseball position.
Yeah, it's not the player's fault that they excelled at this position that you just don't appreciate. It's like those players, there are players like, and Jack Morris was one of these players that was talked about often as being surly with the press and not being very approachable. But and there's those rumors that people didn't vote for him for that reason, because they didn't like him. And that's not a fair thing to do. And these are the same writers, the Baseball Players Association, these are the same writers that voted Clemens and Bonds Cy Young Award winners and MVP Award winners year after year after year, even though they knew they were on steroids.
That's
now they won't let them in the hall. They won't let them. We gave you all these awards. We're not going to let you in the hall, though.
Right.
For something that we helped make happen. It's just ridiculous.
I think by the time David Ortiz comes around, that's going to change.
I hope,
by then they'll probably, and he is a designated hitter, so I don't know. But you can't tell the story of baseball in this century without David Ortiz. I'm sorry.
You're damn right.
He gets a chapter.
He does.
So just like Jeter would, or anybody, like even I think Schilling should be in, even though he's a horrible person and might have almost bankrupted the state of Rhode Island to make video games. But
he has.
There's any financial bonus from getting in.
He has three important postseason performances that are
Bloody Sock.
Sock in 93,
And Keith Law's argument was, then if you put the closer in, what do you put the best pinch runner in? Sure. Like my argument is yes.
Dave Roberts, part
of baseball. If there was one pinch runner that was like, oh my God, anytime you put him in, he stole a base, he scored a run, he changed the tone of the
pass
game.
Ball. Yeah.
Then yes, put him in. It's baseball, you dummy. Like, that's why I hate it when people are like, I'm the smartest person that's ever read or written about baseball. It's like, no, you're not.
Because look at all these numbers.
It's so frustrating to me, man. Like, Tim Raines, for example, was a great all-around baseball player. And growing up, we grew up watching Tim Raines. We loved Tim Raines. He played hard. He was a good baseball player. But he was clearly specialized in certain areas. Like, all around, he's not Babe Ruth. He's not Mickey Mantle. He's clearly was specialized in certain areas. And that's what Jonah Carey was fighting for. Like, look at his all-around table of work. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's what I think a lot of times gets overlooked. Dave Roberts, not. But if that was his role. He was just that dude. Or Edgar Martinez. I'm sorry. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. Edgar Martinez worked his ass off to be as good as he was. The guy was blind. Yeah. And he freaking was able to do what he did. You know what I mean? He was clearly an amazing hitter. And he was a good third baseman when he could still see. It's just ridiculous.
I have this feeling now that Trevor's in. Like, I'm never going to say anybody shouldn't be in. I'm just like, everybody in. I don't care anymore.
What,
I'm
the building,
do
they
I'm
have
out
to,
of it.
They have to build another room in Cooperstown? Yeah. Is
but
that what they're worried
you have
about?
I think there's still, we got to debate the validity of people getting in, or it doesn't mean anything.
I agree that you should debate stats. I don't think you should debate positions and what you think of the position that was created
the validity
by the game
of the
that
position
you are part
is what
of.
You're saying.
Like, yeah.
I still don't understand the Andrew Jones argument, if anybody has one.
It's so strange.
I mean, he was good. He was great. But like,
is there a steroid element in there,
I
though?
Know, I don't think so.
What's the argument?
He did get bigger.
I don't know.
He did get bigger.
Let's move on. We have we had some news drop last night, I guess. That was last night. The Saturday night, the MLB.com, the
MLB
pipeline.
Yeah.
MLB pipeline. Top 100.
Top 100 prospects. And even Keith Law's prospect list. Give him credit.
Yeah.
Give him credit. Baseball America.
Yeah, I mean, the Padres look like they might have the deepest.
Yeah, the pipeline said we had the best
and deepest
farm system.
Farm system, yeah. We have seven guys in the top 100.
Listen, man.
If you do the math, that's quite a few.
It's quite a few. Yeah. It's us, the Braves, and the White Sox, I think, with the best systems.
The Braves have eight. The Twins and White Sox and Padres all have seven. So it's, it's the people we know. It's Tatis, Gore, Anderson Espinosa, Michelle Baez. Help me out. I don't know. I should have this in front of me.
Quantrill, right?
Quantrill. He's 40th.
And then Morihone. Is Morihone on the list? He's on a lot of people's lists. And Urias. It's usually Urias is the other guy. Did you guys see Fernando Tatis's tweets?
Yeah, what
tweets?
Was that?
Yes, I started following him this week.
He did two tweets in a row. One of them was like, of course we have a bunch of prospects. Who doesn't want to play in San Diego? Right. And then the other one that he just tweeted was like, who doesn't want to be a Padre? This is great. I can't wait, blah, 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 blah. Like, clearly, honestly, if our heart is open to another player, it might be Tatis.
It could be him.
We need a player with a good Twitter.
It's true.
That's what we need. I mean, they should pay like $1 million for Jared Weaver's Twitter. Just every 5 days.
Just keep that going.
The way he went after Kevin Charity the other day was pretty funny.
That's
I don't know if you guys saw that.
I did not see that.
Yeah, he made fun of Kevin Charity because Kevin Charity made fun of Jared Weaver and Jared Weaver made fun of Kevin Charity. It was pretty great. Give me a Brandon McCarthy, dude. McCarthy. He's great.
So we have a deep farm system. I tweeted yesterday from the Kept Faith, like, why doesn't Fox Sports actually do something to follow these guys? Why don't they make content? Do a better job of getting to know the guys that'll probably come up. I mean, do you feel that way? I don't know.
Well, why would you do that, Nick, when you can do another lifestyle show? Like, why on earth
maybe
would
that's
you
the problem.
Care it's about the team when you could do another show about burritos in San Diego? I mean, of course I feel that way. Like, that tweet was not only funny, but also extremely correct.
Poignant.
I understand not spending money on players. If it's not smart money, don't spend money on overspend on players. But could you spend money on the players that you already have to try to introduce them to the fan base while you're not having a super competitive product on the field?
Well, one of the things that we talked about last week on the podcast with Dave and Jeff, and we were talking about access to podcasts and websites and stuff like that to the Padres and to the teams. And hopefully that's something that we can help change, because I think one of the things we talked about being a fear was that they were afraid that maybe we would say something mean or cruel or something and they don't want to be associated with that. And I understand that, but I hope that when we talk about the Padres, it comes from a place of complete fandom, complete love for the team. And I hope that we get more access to these guys, because if Fox Sports can't do it for whatever reason, if they can't do it, you know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe it's a ratings thing. Who knows? I mean, they are beholden to advertisers and to them needing to make money. So if they can't do it, well, I would love to do it. I mean, I would love for, the three of us to sit down with Luis Urias and go, hey, man, let's just go talk and have a drink and, let's talk about you. Like, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. Yes.
Let's
get some Gatorade.
We need something.
Get some Gatorade, man. Maybe go to the freaking Family Fun Center and hit some balls and learn about it. It just doesn't make any
sense.
See
how he holds up in the 70s cage. Yeah.
They don't know how good he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think about that MLB pipeline?
That's what we'll do. Be the Kef Faith's cage test, and we'll see if these guys have any talent.
Yeah, right. And then one player throws his shoulder out, and we're all sued.
I mean, maybe they just don't want to – I mean, I understand if they don't want to spend too much resources on it just so they – because maybe these guys don't work out, but I don't know. I feel like there's, a huge hunger for this.
Nick, they just released their calendar for the year. And
oh, yeah, the promo calendar.
They're not very – no, not the promo calendar, the literal calendar, and they're not too worried about putting players on months that might not wind up working out. There's about half of that calendar that's no longer in San Diego. The 2018 calendar has five players on it that aren't a San Diego Padre.
And it looks like the graphic design school at Coleman College in 1994 designed it.
They just got to put them out.
Wow.
Yeah.
One person I think responded to your tweet was saying the cup of coffee, Dick Enberg, cup of coffee, that was a great show on Fox Sports. And that would be something I would completely be interested in, something like that for a player like a Cal Quantrill or a Espinosa or something, just hanging out for 15 minutes and talking. You know what I mean? Who wouldn't want that?
You could travel around to each farm system stop.
Yeah.
Not just to have them in the gas lamp.
I feel like we're talking about something that we should just go do.
Yeah.
Just show up with a phone and then start asking questions.
Get in the Kept Faith RV. It's safe.
I know. A lot of these kids are maybe too young to hang out with us.
I know.
Yeah,
get arrested.
We just have to do – the rule is you just have to have three or more people together, and then you're fine.
Oh, okay, good.
That's the rule around the kids nowadays.
Side hugs only.
So me
side
and you,
hugs.
Dallas, we'll be fine, or you and Nick, we'll be fine.
I think you're right. There is a hunger for it. Obviously, there is, because that's all we can talk about right now is these prospects lists.
I mean, with the way people talk about Tatis, it's like we already know him and love him.
We're already praying
to him. He has to work out.
There was some Sunday morning, you know, prayer sent off via Twitter today to Tatis.
I think it's funny that it is like one of those things where it's like, well, he was involved in the Yelich trade. You know, like, we don't know that for sure, but, like, everyone just assumes, like, no, it was him, and so we didn't get Yelich, so now he has to work out. Like, right. It's just such a funny, like, this is what has to happen now.
Well, you got to figure, I mean, every conversation the Padres have, Tatis is going to come up. I mean, I think they had him at the eighth best prospect in the
– yeah, I mean, and I think Baseball America had him even higher than that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, thank God he's turned out, because otherwise that James Shields trade would have looked horrible.
Oh, yeah.
And in retrospect, at the time, it looked horrible to all of us, because we're like, why are we getting a 17-year-old Fernando Tatis, his son? But, like...
And going to pay James, yeah.
And so I'm glad that it's working out, and I hope it works out. I mean, because that would be a great infield. You know, if Luis Urias, who can hit, you know, he's got a great eye, and he can do a lot of things well. He's an old school baseball player, a grinder, the kind of baseball player that Travis and I love to watch, a little Eckstein, so to speak. You know, you get him, you get Fernando Tatis, you get, you know, these other kids. Who's the other infielder that they love? I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I hate myself for not remembering. But
Esturi Ruiz.
Is that the kid? Esturi
Ruiz.
He's
not in the top 100, but.
But people love him.
Yeah, no, they're excited about him.
So I don't know. There's a lot of upside, and I think. I don't know.
Well, it's going to be interesting when the season starts. I mean, so much of the way people follow the Padres now is tracking these players all over the country now, these other places. I mean, it seems like Tatis is going to be the biggest. Every game he plays is going to be newsworthy to us.
Well, what is
almost more than the games. And
what else is there to really be excited about right now? You know, I mean, and no disrespect to the guys who are there. I mean, Hedges and Margot and all that stuff. Like, we're excited about those guys too, but it's like, you know, they're going to be struggling at the big league level, figuring it out. So why not look at these guys crushing it in double and triple and getting excited, you know?
Well, we don't know. We don't know if the Padres are going to sign Hosmer still. We're still.
I can't believe
Sunday
that's
night.
Still
we
up in the
air. We don't
know
what Hosmer's doing, but we didn't talk about this on Thursday. I think it was Wednesday night. The Padres Twitter account got Instagram account.
I think both. I think Twitter and
Instagram.
Well,
their Instagram. Social media got hacked, and somebody posted a picture of Hosmer holding his arms up, and I think there was an emoji of eyes googling out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty fun news day. I thought
it was.
We just found out it was a disgrueled employee, right?
It was right after the Hoffman news, like
right.
So,
it
like
right.
That
so they
night
just
or whatever,
there was
know,
no
night.
Reason to do anything like that.
But apparently, it happened because during the Hoffman thing, somebody posted a picture, and in the background or something was like a password. Like on a desk, and somebody like found the password. It was something
right.
like that, and I think it's great. I think
that,
it's great.
That gives me a lot less faith
we should
in this organization.
Padres
we're
Twitter.
Gonna we're definitely trading away to Tatis next week. I can see it right now. They're leaving
Padres
passwords
needs,
open.
We need like a localized version of Anonymous or something like yes. like what do you call that? Activist
Wiki,
hackers.
Yeah. WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
WikiLeaks, is that it? Yeah, dude, we need a Julian Assange.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I mean, can't Marver do that?
Yeah.
Come on, Marver, step
we
it up.
We need to set up an inbox for whistleblowers.
Yeah, be our Julian Assange. Get in there, figure it out.
Yeah, let's change the world.
I didn't even know that. I just was reading this on the way over here that Yu Darvish hasn't signed. I totally forgot.
Yeah, there's
that he hasn't
it's a weird
signed.
Market. It's, everything's like. Being pushed back later in the year.
Well, I got into like a little, not even a debate at all, but David Jay was on Twitter, and I forget, I think it was one of the vocal minority dudes, was talking about something to do with like the fact that because the market right now is so calm and nothing's really happening and guys aren't getting great deals, Kenley Jansen came out and said, well, maybe we should strike. And like, and then this guy was like, the vocal minority guy was like, he's making $80 million a year, like, or not a year, sorry, $80 million of a 6-year contract, I think it was. You know, how, basically, like, what are you worried about? And then David Jay was saying, well, he's trying to fight for the rest of the people in his union. And to that, I say, I don't care. Like if these guys strike again, it's going to be real hard to get me back. Like, I mean, like a strike, like 94 level. I start to get concerned when people go, well, you know, they got to get paid what they're worth. Like, I think they are. Like, I mean, it's baseball and it's a game. And I know that the owners and stuff make billions of dollars, but the owners of, you know, a printer company makes billions of dollars. You know what I mean? Like, when has it ever been fair? Like, that's what I'm trying. Like, what market do they work in or they live in where, like, the people who own the company make the same as the people who work for the company?
Well, if he's like, making a point that, like, the owners are purposely colluding together, coming together to drive prices down.
Yeah,
they're probably doing that because they've made so many mistakes throwing money around like crazy. I mean, that happened in 94 where, sure, like the owners cry poverty, but they throw around these stupid contracts and then they don't want to, then they get upset and try to do this stuff. Maybe I don't know how valid this is, but
yeah.
It does feel like something's going on. I understand why the sentiment's out there.
If there is collusion, collusion's one thing, but complaining about not making the money you think that you should make based on like the market is another thing to me. I just have a real hard time sympathizing for either side when it comes to these things. It's like, right, millionaires fighting billionaires. And to me, I'm like, dude, I wish I was a millionaire. You know what I mean? Like, I wish if I was a millionaire and I got to play baseball every day, all day, you know, I just wouldn't be that upset.
Well, the players union they're in a tough position because they will never go for a salary cap or anything like that. There are ways to solve this. Like, the NBA has a salary cap, but they also have a bottom. So the players have to make a certain amount of money. The Major League Baseball players don't want any kind of restriction like that. So it leaves them open for more of this activity. If it's happening for real, we don't know. But
of course, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, NBA has like a clear deal with the players. They split it 50-50, the pie. And if a team isn't spending enough money, the players on the team get a bump in pay for that season. But the Major League Baseball players don't want to have any part of that.
And that's going to keep leading to things like this, though. That's the problem, is when you don't want to bend, then the other person, why would the other person bend? You know what I mean? And then you're going to cause problems. It's a hard time, but it has been a weird winter because Hosmer still, I mean, how far away from me from pitchers and catchers? What do you say, 17 days or something?
I was going to look it up before we started.
17 days from pitchers and catchers. And Yu Darvish isn't in with the club yet. I mean, Hosmer better sign soon. We're almost to February. It's very strange.
Yeah, I mean, I think teams in general are just, they're not going to want to spend premium money for older players. You know, I mean, that's coming. That's already here. I mean, you're 28, you're already a dinosaur, it seems like.
Well, or you're Eric Hosmer, and you're going to make $140 million from somebody.
I mean, do you think the Padres, I mean, I don't even know what the last report was on where they are with him, what's on the table. I mean, is $140 still on the table? I don't even know.
I how could it be and have it take this long?
Yeah.
To me, it just seems like what Hosmer is asking for is way off of what anyone's willing to pay. And it's taking this long to come to the middle.
I don't think it's way off of what he's worth, to be honest. Like, based on the market, I don't think it's way off of what he's worth. I think it is right around what he could be getting paid. I mean, he's been a productive first baseman for many years. He's not a bad player. You know, he's not, but the thing is, he's not this great, great first baseman. He's Eric Karros, basically, with just a different set of tools. Like, he's a very consistent, this is what he's going to give you, and he'll probably do that for the next few years. But, like, the fact is, no big team's going to really go for him, and then you have to deal with the smaller market teams. Like, he's a guy who I'm surprised hasn't wound up on the Giants. Like, he makes a lot of sense for a team like that who could drop $140 million on a guy who's going to give you consistent level of play. You know what I mean? Like, something like that, or, like, the Brewers. Some team that's in that realm. But, like, the Yankees aren't going to splurge on an Eric Hosmer. The Red Sox aren't going to splurge on an Eric Hosmer. So, and the Padres and the Royals can almost
afford it.
So, like, it's just a weird situation for him to be in, and it's a weird situation for the league to be in. You know, what do you do with a guy like that?
Yeah, what do we do?
It's not a bidding war. He's not going to have a bidding war. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll be tracking it. We've been tracking Hosmer since I feel like we were in our 20s. It feels like. I don't know. This is like, just make a decision, man. Yeah. Come
Seriously,
on.
Seriously, I'm more concerned about you, Darvish. He is, I have to keep him this year for fantasy baseball. And it's just, I want him to stay in the National League. Like, please just stay in the National League. Yeah. That's all I want. Sorry, if he goes to the Cubs, he might go to the Cubs. That would be sweet, pitching against the Reds.
But before we get out of here, guess what came back into our lives last week? We didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, but the XFL is back, baby.
Oh, man.
And we are in the mix. I want
it. Up and lose.
2019, right? Is that when it's coming back? 2020.
I want it. We'll
doing coke, drop and lose.
Tatis will have his second batting title. Oprah will be president. Maybe Kanye. I don't care. It'll all work out.
Didn't they just list it?
I'm sorry, but not to burst all your bubbles, but Oprah already said no.
She
already said no.
Wait till after the midterm.
Yeah, but here's the biggest question, Nick, and it's still, it hasn't left. Where are they going to play?
The XFL?
Yes.
Oh, dude. You obviously don't know.
Obviously, you didn't see the Channel 10 poll that they did.
I did not see.
The options were Soccer City, SDSU West, tear down or leave as is.
Or,
oh, I did see that. Yeah,
or make a bigger Dave and Buster's.
Yeah,
and
leave as is won by a couple. So this.
So the XFL will play at Qualcomm. The Q the way it is.
Yeah,
I love that when those polls come out, people go, "God, that's why nothing could get done in this city." Like they're blaming the citizens for going, "We don't want to hear about your bullshit." Like the citizens came together and said, It is what it is. If someone could put a winning product in this place, then sure.
Yeah, like, and also
like blaming it on your fellow citizens that no one wants to spend a bunch of taxpayer money to do this nonsense. Like that's just such a dumb position to take.
But if they did leave it as is, we could have an XFL team, and
yeah, man,
that'll be great.
Listen, I'm all on board, man. I love it.
Hey, I am too. I was just, you know, it's the big elephant in the room.
I'm excited for the podcast, honestly.
Oh, and you know what they would do is give us access. Yeah. We would have access immediately. They would need all of the access they could get.
Yes.
Keenan Allen will be playing in the league by then.
It's going to be great. I mean, they listed cities that they are interested in. I don't think San Diego was on the list of initial cities.
In
oh, did
yeah,
you?
I
okay.
Saw it just today, but
I mean, there's no way we wouldn't fight for one. I mean, Falconer won't be here, but whoever the mayor is, when the time comes around, there's no way that they're not going to at least throw our hat in the ring.
I mean, if there is a stadium, maybe they would. I'm sure they would be fine with the 30,000. Like the soccer stadium.
I bet they would pray for a 30,000 seat stadium. I mean, just the renderings. I mean, just think about the renderings.
I just love it. He is not letting this die. Vince McMahon is just like, it didn't work the first time. I've learned a lot. Let's go. We're doing it.
I love it. I mean, if you have that much money, why not try it again?
Yeah.
I doubt he lost money on the XFL. I bet he walked away with a couple bucks. Just from the cities buying the franchises and all that stuff, you know what I mean?
But is now the right time, though? I mean, with the way
the worst time.
The worst possible time. Football is already getting criticized for being too violent as it is.
But
the thing about the XFL, it was the NFL is too wussy. Come over to where the violence is. And
I think that's going to be the thing. They came out and said, we're giving fans back the game of football. It is going to be an all-out. Someone will die. Like they are not.
That's part of the marketing.
That
strategy.
Is their part of their marketing. Yeah, it's the exit. I mean, they're going to go for it. And I actually think that the NFL should be more worried than anything because you watch the NFL. I mean, you know, nothing against the Patriots. Tom Brady is by far the best quarterback of all time. And I didn't watch a down of this game, but all I was reading about on Twitter with people who were watching the game and posting it, and posting little videos, was that they were not getting any calls. You know, that all the calls were going against, who did they play? The Jags?
Yeah.
Going against the Jags. And those things, people hate those things. And they play so tenderly now. And they should because people are dying. Like, listen, they should be careful. Like, they should. But fans are like, that's not the way it was when I was a kid. You would have ripped that finger off and kept playing.
Yeah. That you'd have puke from your concussion and then ate it because you were still hungry from working so hard.
That's what the XFL is going to be, puking from concussions.
And, you know, it's going to be a wholesome entertainment. I'm excited for it. So, guys, after when this goes up, we will have a new website.
Yes.
A new website. Yes. Check it out. We did a revamp of the website with some. We brought back the brown, which if you were at the live pod, we announced. But it looks really good. Travis designed it. It's awesome. Any thoughts?
Well, no, let me say, I mean, like, and again, we talk about this a lot, and at some point we'll actually do a little bumper in the beginning, but because you guys were Patreons and because you're patrons, you went to the patreon.com/thekeptfaith, you signed up, you know, for just the $5 a month, you know, because of those little things, we kept saying, hey, we're going to be able to do this stuff. Well, we're now slowly being able to do this stuff. So, thank you to you who are patrons of The Kept Faith, and I'll say it again, patreon.com/thekeptfaith. Thank you to you. Because of that, we were able to revamp our site. It looks awesome. I mean, if anyone went to it the last couple of days, you're going to see it kind of changing. It's a work in progress, but we're launching it. You know, now it's ready to go, and we couldn't be happier with the way it looks. And we've added some people on. We'll make those announcements soon, probably next week when we come together. We'll announce the couple people who've come on as contributors officially. And all the people who came in this week to do Trevor Week, you know, those friends and stuff. Just building up this community and making it stronger. And I just can't thank those people enough for donating the $5 to us and helping the Kept Faith grow and get bigger and better. And I'm excited. Like, this, the site looks so sweet, man, on your phone. It just looks awesome.
Yeah. Well, check it out. And we'll be back next week or a week from now.
I don't know. Yeah. We'll be back again.
But
we'll
before be baseball again. Starts, we'll be back.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Good night. The Cubs.
Padres are
ball busters.
Well hit deep right at the fence. It is going in. Goal.
High right center field. Way back there. Way back. They're near. Going. It's gone.
Great play off balance. Throw to first. They got him. A sensational play by Alan Wiggins.
2-0. High fly ball. Well hit right field. Look out. Maldonado at the wall. Terry Kennedy. Home run.
Drive to deep right field. If it's fair, the Padres will have the lead.
The show you just heard was part of the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. To hear other great shows like the Voice of San Diego Podcast, I Made It in San Diego, a show all about the people behind the region's businesses, the award-winning Culture Cast, The Kept Faith, a San Diego sports show, and more, please visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts. If you'd like to sponsor any of the podcasts, please email Aaron at voiceofsandiego.org. That's ERIN at VOSD.org.